Bibles tonight, would like to ask you to turn to the book of Numbers, chapter number 13. We'll start in verse 17. You'll have to bear with me. I've got quite a few verses to read tonight. But when you found your place, I would like to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Praying tonight that the Lord will have His way. And in, I hope tonight maybe those that are saved can leave here encouraged. That's what I've come to do tonight, is to encourage you. We get in so many meetings where it seems like people just beat you up and beat you down for everything. But I like when I can come into God's house and I can get help and get encouraged. And I appreciate the Lord so much tonight. I'm glad no matter where we're at, He can lift us up out of that place. He can take us out of the horrible pit. He can encourage us. He can put a song in our heart and a pep in our step. And if you live in the same world I do, sometimes you need that because it's not easy out there, but we have the Lord, so He makes it all better. The Bible says, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land what it is and the people that dwelleth there, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether they be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended up by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came into the brook of Eshol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched and the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come out of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, we come before tonight. We thank you, Lord, for another day that you've allowed us to live. Lord, we thank you for each one that's here. Lord, I pray that you'd touch hearts in a mighty way, Lord. God, search our hearts, whatever our needs is tonight. God, I pray that you'd fulfill them according to your riches and glory. Lord, I pray for those that are here, Lord. God, that you'd move in a mighty way upon each soul. Lord, I pray that we'll leave here closer to you. Lord, I pray that, God, for those that are discouraged, those that are in the valley, those that are facing the troubles of life, God, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would swoop down by them and lift them up and encourage them tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to enjoy salvation and the good things of God. Help us not to look at our situation, our circumstances, but dear God, I pray tonight we'd have our eyes focused solely upon thee. Lord, I pray to the anointment thy servant tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Kind of look at what's going on here. We know that the children of Israel, we know they were in bondage in Egypt for a long time. And for years and years, the children of Israel served as slaves in Egypt. And we all know the story. We are taught in Sunday school growing up how the Lord come by and He delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt from Pharaoh. How He sent the lamb and the lamb was slain. And they put the blood over the door in the night. The death angel come by. How where the blood was, the children, where the blood was, God passed over the land. And all those people were delivered out of Egypt. And we know how God was with him, and they were marching getting away from Egypt, and we see how the hand of God was on them all the time. Wherever they went, God was with them, and we see the children of Israel, they were promised the land of Canaan, and here they are right on the brink of getting the promised land. I mean, they were right there, brother, and God told them that they could have that land. He told them, it's yours. Everywhere you put your foot, that's yours. And they were right on the brink of Canaan land. And they get here, and they're at Kadesh Barnea in the wilderness. And God told them to get them 12 men out of the children of Israel. And I want you to go into that land, and I want you to search it out. I want you to look high and low, top to bottom, over and under, in and out. And they went in this land, and they're looking, they're searching out, figuring what's going on, how they're going to come in, and how they're going to take it. And they were there for 40 days, and here they are. And we see the scene unfolding before us. The men go out, and they're in Canaan land, and they come back, and they have a report to tell. If the Lord will be my help tonight, for just a few minutes, I want to preach on this salt, on enjoying the grapes in a land of giants. Enjoying the grapes in a land of giants. We see Canaan land, I believe in the Bible myself. I don't believe that Canaan land is a picture of heaven. There's too many struggles. There's too many battles in Canaan land. But I find that Canaan land in the Scriptures is a picture of salvation. I believe with all of my heart it's a type. If you look into it, it's salvation. The battles, the struggles that go on while we're saved. But friend, we can enjoy salvation. We can enjoy the blessings that God has before us. God saved us to be overcomers. He saved us and said He'd give us an abundant life, but we're too guilty of looking at the circumstances that are faced in front of us, and we're too guilty on focusing on the negative aspects instead of looking to the land that God has given us, instead of holding on to the grapes or the blessings that God has set before us. I don't know about you, friend, but I'm in this thing to enjoy it. I don't want to be beat down all the time. I don't want to have to run around like a whoop puppy, because Christ died for me and said that I could have an abundant life if I would trust Him. If we had trust Him, well, we'd have sweet life. Amen. We don't have to struggle all the time, but I'm afraid we're too much like the children of Israel here. Instead of looking at the promises of God, we look at the circumstances, and they cloud our judgment. They cloud everything about us, and we're unable to really enjoy what God has given us. The Bible says, "A thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy." But Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life and more abundantly." Jesus Christ died that you could have an abundant life, a good life. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to go through the same things you go through. Because He said He promised us something so much different than that. Amen. Number one, they come back and here they are. 12 men go in, 12 men come out. And 10 of those 12 men have a horrible report. You know what I believe they was? First Baptist in the Bible. Had something negative to say about everything. Amen. I can say that. I'm a Baptist. Amen. And here they come, and instead of telling them the good things they found in the land, instead of talking about the milk and the honey, you know what the first thing they said? We've been in the land, and they said nothing about milk and honey or grapes. All they want to do is talk about, number one, they want to talk about the giants in the land. See, they go there and they're looking around, and man, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. God had created what a wonderful land, Canaan land. It's home, it's right there in their sight. And instead of basking on the glorious gift of God, they say, the giants. We've been to the land, and the giants are just too big. We can't do this, we can't take it. Isn't that like most folks today? I mean, friend, when God told them that they could have Canaan land, God didn't tell them there wasn't going to be giants in the land, but He did say they could have it. You see, when God saved us, He said there was blessings in salvation, but He didn't say there weren't going to be giants that we have to fight. Amen. He just made the blessings outweigh the giants. Amen. But we're so guilty of looking at the giants and freezing up because it's scary sometimes. Hey, friend, life's scary. Life's tough sometimes. Amen. We're going to face giants in our lives. Friend, it just looks like just looking at them eyeball to eyeball like they'll whoop you. I mean, I'm a pastor. I've only been pastoring a little over a year now. And man, there's people in my church that has got giants in their life, and they're letting them ruin their life. They're letting them overtake them. Their joy is gone. Their peace is gone. Their happiness is gone. Because instead of focusing on God and the blessings, the giants seem so big to them. See, there's giants. I face giants. My family faces giants. I've got people in my family that are facing depression, Brother Wynn. My poor grandma for the last 20 years of my life, as far as I can remember back, she's a good, godly woman, but she's facing that depression giant. And it seems like no matter how good things are going, Brother Wynn, it's just like she keeps focusing on that giant, and she lets it whoop her. And there's a lot of folks out there today, you've got a giant in your life, I promise you. That one little sin, that one little thing that just follows you around like a puppy dog nipping at your heels, and no matter what you do, you just can't get rid of it. Well, friend, you don't have to get rid of it, but you have to learn how to face that thing and look at eyeball to eyeball and tell you that it's not going to ruin your life. It's not going to dictate your happiness or who you are, because God said Canaan land was yours, and He said you could beat those giants in your life. Whatever the giants, I mean, my lands, we're living in a time when people are facing financial giants. Depression giants, anxiety giants, alcohol, drugs. I mean, Brother Wynn, you do, your pastor, you know the giants that people have. Brother, you've got giants. But it's all in how we face those giants in our life. See, we can look like those men and back away from them. Or we can be like Christ called us and face them headlong. But see, we tend to think that when we get saved, that when we are birthed into God's family, we have this mindset because there's so much horrible preaching going on, just to be honest with you, that everything's going to be perfect. Well, I find nowhere in that King James Bible where God said everything when you got saved was going to be perfect. It reminds me of the story of a little colored boy down in Atlanta, Georgia. Him and his father were going out, and they were in downtown Atlanta, and they were looking at all the skyscrapers, and they were big, and this young boy was just in awe at those skyscrapers. And they were there to buy insurance. And his dad looked at his son. He said, "Son, I want you to stay right here. You see that building?" He said, "Yeah, Dad." He said, "I'm going way up there to the top of that building, and I'm going to get some insurance. You stay right here, and I'll be back." Well, the young man's father, he goes up to the top of the building, and about that time, this young boy is sitting in the streets of Atlanta, Georgia, and then all of a sudden, over the horizon, the storm begins to roll in, and he's sitting there by himself, and all of a sudden, the thunder begins to roll and clap across the mountain, and then all at once, it's like the bottom falls down, it's pouring the rain, and lightning is flashing all over the place, and still this little boy is sitting right there, and a young lady comes up and she says, "Honey, you need to get inside.
Don't you have anywhere to go? He said, no, miss. You see, my daddy said he was going way up yonder. And he said he was going to be gone for a little while. And he said he is coming back. But you see, the thing is, miss, when my daddy left me, he didn't say the storm wasn't going to come across the mountain. He didn't say the thunder wasn't going to roll, or the lightning wasn't going to strike, or the wind wasn't going to blow. But my daddy did tell me he was going away, but he was coming back. Friend, I'm going to tell you today, when God saved you, he didn't say the thunder wasn't going to clap, and the lightning wasn't going to strike, and the wind wasn't going to blow. But he did say, honey, you just tarry here till I come. I went way up yonder, and I'm a coming back, honey, and you'll be safe because I said for you to stay right there. John 14, 1 and 2, the Bible said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, friend, when God saved you, he didn't say you weren't going to face giants. God didn't say that there wasn't going to be storms. God didn't say there wasn't going to be valleys that you had to walk through. But just like God told the children to go get Canaan land, God has told us to go enjoy this life and just occupy till I come back. And don't worry about the giants. Friend, we spend so much time worrying about the things that beat us up that we can't enjoy what God has set before us. What a report to come back with. There's giants in land. I've got newsflash for you. If you're living in this real world, there's giants. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. It ain't nothing new. Friend, but God said if we're His, He'll take care of us. Brother Wynn, I've faced some pretty bad giants in these last 5 years. It ain't been easy. Lord knows it's been a battle. Lord knows it's been tough. And there's been times I've wanted to quit, and there's been times that I wanted to throw in the towel because I thought no one cared, but I found out that he still cares. And I found out that he'll help me face whatever it is that I'm going through, and he will get me through to the other side. Amen. Number one, they come back with a report, giants is in the land. Giants is, we can't take this land, there's giants in the land. Even though God had promised them, even though God had already delivered them, even already God had rolled back the Red Sea and God had gave them a cloud by day and a fire by night to guide them, yet they thought that God couldn't get them. Ain't that just like us? We've faced giant after giant, and we've watched God slay it, and we've watched God be faithful so many times, but yet that one giant, it seems like all our faith disappears. Amen? Boy, it doesn't have to be that way, though, does it? So they come back and they say there's giants in the land. And then they come back and they say, you know, even though there's giants in the land, that might not have been the big deal to some of them. But they said, even though that there's giants in the land, let's read verse number 33. Bible says, and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. See, the second report of the land, not only did they see the giants that were bigger than they were, but they looked at themselves and saw themselves as little bitty old grasshoppers. Man, they had a bad complexion about who they were. Sometimes we get in those situations and it seems like the giants are just humongous. But even more than that, we get in those situations and instead of rising up, we tend to look at ourselves as little bitty nobodies. Amen. Friend, we are more than just little grasshoppers. Amen. That God had told them, I want you to go in there. They were God's people, the chosen nation of God, but yet they looked at themselves like they were nobody. Don't you feel like sometimes you just need to find out who you really are in Christ? Sometimes we need to be willing to look at ourselves and understand that we're more than just little insignificant dots on the wall. We're more than just little grasshoppers. That we were something special to Christ Jesus, so special that He was willing to lay aside His glory and bleed and die on an old rugged cross. Friend, you might not have ever felt special in your life. You might have felt like a nobody all your life, but I'm telling you, in the sight of God Almighty, you are somebody in Jesus Christ, and we need to learn to walk around and be proud of who we are. Amen. I think that's what's wrong with the church today. We have no pride about ourselves anymore. For I'll tell you, you're a child of the living God. Amen. You have Christ Jesus dwelling inside of your heart. You are somebody. We need to remember that. We've forgotten who we were. The last couple of weeks, 3 or 4 weeks at my church, I've been preaching on a series of messages on a Christian identity crisis. It seems like people have forgotten who we really are. That we forgot that we're somebody. We're in a crisis in the Baptist church because it seems like the world has beaten us up so much and the giants seem like they're so big we just feel inferior. But we are somebody special to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is inside of you, friend, and you can do all things through Christ. The world don't have that promise. I want to read you something who the Lord said you were. This is my favorite verse outside of the gospel. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 9. This is who you are tonight, friend. More than just a little insignificant grasshopper in a field somewhere. You're more than just a little nobody floating around in a great big world. You're somebody. God knows the very numbers on your head. He knows where you live, where you breathe. He knows everything about you. You are somebody, friend. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you're nothing, because you're something to God. Amen. The Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation. Brother, when I was never chosen for a whole lot. But yet God Himself looked over the landscape of this earth and He chose me. 5 years ago tonight, there was a lot better people at Mount Ephraim Baptist Church that deserved salvation a lot more than I did. There was a lot more people, worthy, good people. Yet the God of glory singled me out and He chose me to be saved that night. And He done you the very same way. He could have chose to save anybody the night you got saved. But He had His eyes on you, just like a husband when he sees his wife and he knows that's the one. And His eyes were set on you because you was the one. You're chosen. You're somebody special to Him. That does something for me, brother, when I've never been much to anybody. But I had something to Him. He looked at me and fell in love with me when I just had nothing but old dirty rags to offer Him. Didn't have a dime in my pocket, didn't have nothing, yet He loved me. And friend, you was in the same boat. You might have had all the money in the world, but all you had to offer Him was a bunch of rags of nothing, but He still took you in. He said, you are a royal priesthood. You're royalty tonight. See, before Jesus died, only the high priest had contact with God. But when the Lord Jesus Christ died, the veil of glory was open. The gates of glory was open. And we, in essence, become a kingdom of priests that at any time, at any moment, through any valley, through any storm, through any situation in your life, you have access right to the throne room of glory, friend. And I say, or take advantage of it. When trials come, don't call your preacher. When storms come, don't tell your wife. I'm telling you, get on your knees and go straight to glory and tell Jesus about it, because you're royalty. You have access to Him. At any moment, at any time. Amen. Bible said you're a holy nation. Boy, hadn't we got away from that holy living? Amen. God said you're holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Friend, it's time that we as God's children start acting holy. And I'm not talking about holier than thou and lifting your nose up in pride and looking down at anybody else. I'm talking about living it. Just living it. Amen. Being a holy nation. A peculiar people. Now, that word peculiar doesn't mean weirdos. Amen. I know you might think I'm a little weird. That's not what that means. That word peculiar in the Greek means a people that set aside. Set us aside. It reminds me of like as a young boy or girl in high school or in school when you play sports and you do really good. They give you that little trophy and you put it up on your shelf. That's basically what that's saying is like you're like a trophy to him. You're someone set apart. You're like a little trophy of grace that he has set on his counter. Man, that does something for me when I'm not much, but to him I'm a trophy. I'm something, Brother Wynn. Even though this world might look at me and they might think I'm crazy, and you might think I'm crazy, to the Lord I'm something special. Amen. We need to understand who we are. A peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You were somebody who was living in darkness. Yet the God of glory shone the light of the gospel right into your heart. And it done something to you. He said, you should praise me for it. See, we're not just some little grasshoppers that can't take the land. We are something special to God. We have got to start looking at ourselves like God looks at us. You see, God looks at us and he knows that we can do anything. He knows that because we have the ability to call upon him. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That leaves nothing out, friend. Friend, the Bible says in Galatians 4 and 6 and 7 that we are a joint heir, we're an heir through Christ. We have got all of heaven. We need to understand who we are. We're special to God. See, when you have people that have low self-esteem, it seems like they can't get anywhere. It seems like they have a lack of joy. They have a lack of peace. They're always striving to gain something more. But the people that are confident and happy with who they are the people that, despite the situation, they're okay with it. Amen. We need to realize that we're something special. And I know we're beat down and we're told all the time that we're nothing, but my friend, you're worth God's son. You're something special. And God told them, to go into the land and take it, but yet they couldn't because they were stuck on self. God said you could have all the blessings that he has in this Bible, but you're so stuck on looking how small you are in this world. And you need to start looking at you like God looks at you and look at the giants, how God looks at the giants. See, when we look at those giants and we think they're so big and we're so small, it's like God looks at us opposite. He looks at the giants like they're mere grasshoppers and like we're the giants. Hey, we can just smash them little fellers. Amen? Amen. So we see these 10 men. 10 men. It's absolutely amazing. Amazes me, this piece of scripture here, that they could see everything that God had done for years in the wilderness, yet they still was focusing on everything else but God. 10 of the men were. They had a report of giants in the land, report of grasshoppers, and telling how the walls were so big, and they're never going to be able to take this place. But there was two boys there that were filled with the Holy Spirit of God himself. Caleb and Joshua come, and they come out of they come out of Canaan, and they're standing before the people, and those 10 men, I can just see it giving that bad report, talking about the giants and talking about the grasshoppers. I could imagine old Caleb looking at Joshua and said, man, they're crazy. I seen them giants. They didn't look too big to me. I don't know grasshoppers. I'm no grasshopper. They said, didn't you see the grapes? See, 10 men come back with reports of the giants and the grasshoppers. But 2 men come back and they had a report of how good the grapes was. Now, this was a time of the first ripe grapes. Caleb and Joshua are down by the brook Eshol. Brother Jamie, they've been going through the wilderness, just struggling, barely making it. God said, I'm going to send you to a land flowing with milk and honey. There's going to be blessings like you've never seen before. You just wait till you get there. It's going to be perfect. They go to the brook Eshol, and can you imagine what they saw? When they plucked through the woods, and there it was. Grapes that big. They've been eating on just stuff to barely sustain them when. Now they are in a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and they just got to the first part of the place, and there's grapes that big. Can you imagine them other guys over there looking at the giants, trembling? Caleb and Joshua sucking on grape juice, biting into that. Man, that's good. Can you see them there? Everybody else trembling in fear and wondering what they got to do. Caleb and Joshua with grape juice running down their face. They was just trusting God. God told them to take the land. God didn't say nothing about the giants. They weren't worried about them giants. God didn't tell them that they were a bunch of grasshoppers. All they knew was God told them to go on the land and everything that's there is yours. So they just figured them grapes must be mine. I'm just going to enjoy them while I've got them. Those grapes are a picture or a type of the blessings of God once we are saved by God's amazing grace. Friend, I'm telling you, you can enjoy the blessings of God even though you dwell in a land of giants, and even though sometimes you look like you're nothing, God has set some blessings in this place for you. All them other guys talking about the giants, Jamie, they said, I don't know about that. But I'm full on grape juice. Man, I'm so full on God. I don't care none about them giants. And I'm so full on God, there ain't no way I can be a little grasshopper, because a grasshopper can't contain what I've got inside of me. Friend, I know we live in a tough time. The economy is all to pieces. Money's hard to come by. Drugs and alcohol, depression, anxiety, fears are all about us. Wars all over the land. But I'm not going to focus my attention on the negative things. I'm going to keep my eyes on the grapes. I'm going to keep them on the blessings that God said I could have. He didn't tell me I had to struggle through this thing. He didn't tell me I had to limp through it, just barely making it. He said, son, I've set the grapes in Canaan land and they're yours. You can have them. The only reason you come to church and you leave the same way you come without the blessings of God is because you chose to look at everything else. You have chose to look at the things you fight, the giants, and instead of saying, God, open me up and fill me up, you're saying, God, bless me if you can. Saying, Lord, you really couldn't bless me. I'm telling you, friend, you need to focus on the blessings of God and go out there and get them. They're there for the taking, win. Every one of those men, all 12 of those men, could have come out of Canaan land looking like a purple grape. But they chose to come out looking like a bunch of scared little whipped puppy dogs. And I'm afraid we're so guilty of the same thing. Some of you are, you've got some grapes this week. And while other people have been miserable and other people are wondering what's going on, you've just sat down at the brook Esau and you looked at them grapes and said, I'm going to have me some. Amen. I determined a long time ago when if anybody else ain't going to get blessed when they come to church, I'm going to get blessed. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care what's going on around me. I've got my eyes on the grapes. I've got it on the blessings of God. I don't care about the giants. I don't care about who I am. I'm focusing on what God has got in store for me tonight. Now I'm telling you, every time I come with that attitude, you know what I leave like? I leave looking like a purple grape. With grape juice running down my cheeks. Can you imagine them boys smiling? Golly, I've been struggling. God's been good. You ever seen somebody like that? Some of those saints of God, no matter what it is, they got a smile on their face. Got no money. Got no kind of name. Just covered in grape juice. Covered up with the blessings of God. And so I tell you, friends, I ain't got much. I really don't. I've got a little 3-bedroom house, barely big enough for me, my wife, and my son. I got 2 cars, and one of them's broke down. The other one's on its way. Hey, I've got a bank account that makes people do 2 things. It makes me cry and make you laugh. Amen. To the world, I should be a miserable, whooped puppy in a corner begging the government for a handout. They just don't see the grapes I got. They're focused on everything else. I'm glad, friend, that God has set us some grapes in Canaan land. We have got the blessings of the Lord out there. It's all about whether we're going to take it or not. It's all about whether we'll enjoy it or not. It reminds me of one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Habakkuk. I preached out of this the second time I ever preached. And Habakkuk was a prophet and he was going through a tough time. Israel was just in a mess. He thought everything was in a mess. Everything that possibly could have went wrong in this man's life was going wrong. But yet he had an encounter with God. And he spoke these 2 verses that ring true in my head when things were going tough. I read what Habakkuk said. He said this. Habakkuk 3:17 and 18. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. That's pretty tough. He's saying there ain't no food on the table, nothing out in the field, there ain't nothing. He said, through all this, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I believe that's what Caleb and Joshua got a hold of. Although there's giants in the land, and although sometimes we feel like we number little bitty grasshoppers, yet I'm just going to enjoy the Lord. I'm just going to enjoy the grapes that he had for us. See, that very day, the children of Israel had a choice to make to go into Canaan land and enjoy salvation. Friend, it's the same choice you have today. You have the chance, you have the opportunity to stop living life the same old ordinary way. You have the choice to start enjoying life. You have that opportunity to have the abundance that Christ promised you. Or you have the ability to stay stuck in the same old mess you've been stuck in for so long. They had a choice to make that day. I want to read you Numbers 14, 6 through 9. The Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us unto this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Joshua and Caleb said, "You've got a choice to make." Those giants, God gave them the bread, that he gave it to us for bread. They're nothing. But Israel decided that day to look at the grapes and to see themselves as grasshoppers, and the consequences were 40 years in the wilderness wandering around when they were just a day's journey over the mountain. You see, this is the problem. The longer you keep looking at the giants,
The longer you keep looking at yourself as inferior, the longer it will be before you enter into the blessings of salvation. And so many people, instead of grabbing hold of the grapes, has looked at everything else and said, it's too hard, I'm doing it my way. Amen. And then we get into the place of being miserable. They were a day's journey away from the full blessings of God, yet they decided to look at everything else, and their consequences was a miserable life. Men and women are sitting in church, saved by the grace of God, living an unhappy, miserable life because they've looked at the circumstances so long they forgot that God said, Canaan's yours. The grapes are yours. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, the blessings of God, they are yours. They're not unattainable. If they were unattainable, God wouldn't have said you could have them. But He said you can have them tonight, but it's all about you.